Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. If I could have all the house lights up as high as they could go, I'd appreciate that. We're glad you're with us here today. We're in the middle of a series called Lean on Me. Just a little bit about us. If you're visiting, we're so glad you're here. Our vision, our purpose is to literally spread this message of Christ to the entire world that all could receive the hope of Christ and receive the relationship that comes with serving Him. The mission that God has given us to do this, the avenue behind that is by becoming disciples that make disciples of Christ. We become a disciple by doing what? By literally following the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's becoming a disciple. Great Commission is what? You go into all the world, make disciples. And that's what our heart is to follow that by becoming disciples that make disciples of Christ. We're in a series, as I said, on the topic, Lean on Me. Learning to lean on the Lord. And looking at the elements that allow us to do that. In the first week, we talked about our thoughts and how our thoughts literally dictate our inner direction. When what we think about, you become what you think you are. So you have to understand your thoughts are a major issue in your life. So what do you think about yourself? What do you think about yourself? Do you have a healthy perspective or a negative perspective? But it is a direct indicator. It will literally force your direction. If you think positive, guess what? It's good things can come. If you have a negative thought processing, it's going to push you in that path. Last week, we talked about your attitude. And we looked at your attitude and what does it mean when you have a negative attitude or a positive attitude? And what type of environment do you live in? It creates the environment that's around you. And that environment determines what lives and dies. And it also affects your level of growth. So you have to understand that that is a huge indicator in your life. And your attitude is huge. When you're following the Lord, when you're saying, I'm going to lean on the Lord, your thoughts have a direct purpose in it as well as your attitude. These are elements that are very vital to learning to lean on God. And today I want to look at a third one. If you would like to follow along, you can in the YouVersion app. If you look at that, it has all the in the events tab. It'll have all of the scriptures laid out there for you. If not, I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians 10, and I'll be all over. I'll be from through John, Proverbs, Colossians, Galatians. So I'll be in different books of the Bible today. But as we look at this passage, I want to talk about the third element that I believe is critical in learning to lean on the Lord. And that is your effort. Now, we can often see how our thoughts, how that affects our direction, our attitude affects our environment, but we often don't equate that our effort also is a direct correlation to learning to lean upon the Lord. So when we look at that, we have to ask ourselves why. And let me look at this question. We've been asking questions here. So let me start with this question. Who do you work for? Who's the boss, right? Who do you work for? Some of you say, well, I work for myself. Or maybe you think a company you work for. Maybe you work for whatever. But who do you work for? The second question is, how hard do you work? How hard are you working? Who do you work for and how hard do you work? Now, you have to understand that our effort is tied directly to our understanding of purpose. Our effort, what we put forth, who do we work for and how hard we work, that is tied directly to our purpose, understanding why we're doing what we're doing. That's why companies have what? Mission statements. Why do they have a mission statement? They want you to know the why. They want you to know this is who we are. This is what we want to accomplish. All of that is tied in what? To understand your purpose. Because when you understand your purpose, you become more effective in your action. So you have to see, if I'm going to lean on the Lord, I have to know, who do I work for? Do I work for a company? Or maybe I work for something even bigger than that. When you look at this, makes us ask another question. Why should I even exert so much energy? Why should I exert any energy? Why do I work? Let's answer that today. Why do you work? What's the number one reason we work? Money. I'm pretty sure that's for most of you. If you work tomorrow and don't get paid, and they say, we're not paying you anymore, how many are you going to go back? Very few. right? That's the number one thing. You're going to pay me for why I work. I want to get paid for the job I do. Because if we don't get paid, we don't make money. If we don't make money, we don't what? We don't eat. You don't pay rent. You don't pay anything. You are in a bad state. So you work for the primary reason is for money. Another reason we like to work is for recognition. We want people to say, hey, attaboy, good job. We want to grow up the leadership ladder. We want to, get promoted, whatever it may be. We work for recognition. We want to be recognized in what we do. Promotions. We like to be promoted. We want a sense of pride. We want people to see that we can do our job. But what happens is we often tie our work directly to simply a job or simply to a company. But I want to submit to you today that working is far more than working for a company. It's far more than even working for yourself. It's far more than even working to receive recognition, to receive praise. It's way bigger than that. Because you have to understand that our created purpose is to glorify God in all we do. So your work is not for yourself. Your work is for the Lord. Everything you do is given to what? It's for honoring God, showing God what you are and who you are in Him and what you've done through Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us this scripture. It says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now this passage, this word comes up several times in these scriptures. Let me just set the tone here in a good English lesson. What does whatever mean? Whatever. Does it mean some things or all things? This isn't a trick question. Does it mean some things or all things? All things, right? It includes whatever. Anything you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, this is going to be important as we go further. John 6:27 says, don't work for food, for that perishes. But the food that endures for eternal life, which is the Son of Man, will give you, for on Him, God the Father has set His seal. Telling us what? That your work is far beyond perishable things. Look at Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Colossians 3:23. Now here's this word again. Work willingly, let's say it, at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than people. So what does whatever means? It means whatever. It means all things. So let's get this straight. In everything you do, in all that you do, work for the Lord. Well, that's easy to say, hard to live. It's hard to concept for us to grasp. Because we want to say, well, I want to compartmentalize my life. I want to work hard for some things, and some things I don't want to work so hard for, right? Now, this plays out in so many ways because it becomes to the next step, which is this. Our effort, catch this, our effort is a direct indicator of our level of spiritual maturity or growth. Now, why is it important that I work for the Lord in everything I do? Because my effort, everything I do, is a direct indicator. You want to know where you are spiritually in your level of growth and trusting God? Look at how hard you work. Now, let's pause for a second. This means, how do I show up for work? Do I show up ready, prepared? Do I show up on time? Not just work, how about anything I do? Do I do it the best that I can do it? This is one of those things, it's easy to talk about, right? But it's hard to live. It's one of the things you want your kids, you want everybody to grasp, but it's not an easy concept. I mean, I remember growing up, I was always that guy. Now, Mandy has developed me in this process and this, but I was the time guy that if they said get there at 8 o'clock, get there at 8 o'clock. Why get there any time before that, right? I mean, that's just wasted time. That's my time they took. So I remember I was always the guy going to school, like when I was driving. And I was I'd be pulling in, man, running. I'm that runner, running to get there. I wanted to be there. Whatever it was, I wanted to get there on time. I didn't want to be there early. If I was early, that just wasted my time. Now, when I married Mandy, if you're not 30 minutes early, you're late. That was a problem for us early on in marriage. You know, we had many arguments, many fights, many frustrations, many spats over that same concept, because she was like, I'm like, we're going to go there and sit for nothing. Like, nobody's there. Yeah, but we're there early. You know, and it would just drive me up the wall. But you learn in that process, there is something to say about being prompt and being on time, isn't there? Now, don't get me wrong. There are moments in life that things happen. You're going to be, you know, you're not going to be on time. You know, there's situations that happen. But here's what I want you to catch. If you are conscientiously doing that, you need to question, where am I at spiritually? Where is my level of growth? Where is my maturity? Because your effort, let's think about this. If your effort is not tied to what your boss thinks about you, but your effort is tied to what God sees in you, what does he see? Does he see someone who is giving it their all? Does he see someone who is just trying to get by? It's kind of like you remember growing up as a teenager, and even some of us as adults, you ask the question of, we limit test. Did anybody do that? I know I did that as a kid, and I have a kid in particular who loves to do that. You know, it's like every year we start school, he will guarantee you he's going to test and see what he can get away with. And poor kid, he got it from me. I remember as a kid, you'd go in, you'd say, all right, what's this person going to let me get away with? And when you find that limit, you're like, okay, I'm good. I can go that far, right? You know, we think that it's not a bad thing. We're just trying to find our boundaries, right? But the reality is every rule is set. Why? Because somebody created a problem. Every rule you have is because somebody messed up, so they had to put a rule there so others won't do it. And I'm a free spirit. Now, Mandy, she's the structured person. I'm the free spirit. Let's live life, enjoy life, all is well. We don't have to have rules. You know, I'm the kind of person, like you know, if you want to go on vacation, just go on vacation, no matter where you go. If Mandy goes on vacation, we have an itinerary. You know, we're gonna go here, and here. You know, we're just two different people. But here's the reality. Being a free spirit is not a license to be lazy. Being a free spirit is not a license to not be structured, to have a process in place. Because if I can understand that everything I do, everything means what? Everything. Whatever means all things. In everything I do, I have to do it all for the glory of God. So when I show up late, you know what I'm saying? Lord, what I'm doing is not that important. And I'm also setting a precedent to everybody else that, guess what? What I'm doing today has no value to me. I don't care about it. Now, that may not be the case. There may be a true reason of what happened. But the reality is this. In everything, our effort is a direct indicator of our spiritual maturity and growth. What we do for God, because we're not working for man, we're working for God. So what we do for God, if it honors him, if it shows him, if we're doing it for him, how would we change our ways? I'm pretty sure if Jesus was your boss, you would act a little different sometimes. Amen? Am I the only one? Right? If he's the authority one over you, you might act a little different because it's Jesus. But yet the reality is he is. And what we do, if it's a direct indicator of our maturity and growth, we have got to understand this is a critical, critical component in learning to lean on him. Because it's teaching us that it's not about us. It's not about getting promotion. It's not about getting the job or the raise or whatever it may be. It's about honoring God with our actions. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatever you do, there's whatever again, right? Do well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. Now there's an old saying that says what? Work as if it depends on you. And pray as if it depends on God. So work as if you've got to give your effort. But what? You pray as if God. What is it doing? It's saying, Lord, it's not about me. I'm going to give you 100% that I have. But yet I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to put my peace, my strength in you. Now Galatians 6, chapter 4 gives us another example of this. It says, pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Now let's stop there for a second. Because comparing is a issue in all of our lives, correct? And have you ever noticed that when you compare, you lose? Because you always compare your weakness with their strength. It's always, well, they're good at this and I'm not. Well, here's the reality. Everybody's created differently, and others have strength and others have weaknesses. But when you compare your weakness to their strength, you always lose. But I can promise you they have weaknesses, right? You ever seen the perfect family? You think, man, they've got everything going on. Then you see them outside sometime, you're like, whoa, that wasn't so perfect, right? Why? Because they're human. There is no perfect family. There is no perfect person. There is no perfect church. It's called heaven, okay? That's perfection. But yet, we look at this, he's saying, instead of focusing on others, what does he say? Focus on you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That goes back to when you're a kid. Mind your own business, right? That's what you tell your kids. I mean, poor Harrison. He's our youngest child, and that kid has two fathers and two mothers. Mandy and I are his biological father and mother, and then he has two adopted ones, his brother and sister, who believe it is their absolute God-given responsibility that he follows the right path. It has no bearing on whether he does or not, but they believe he should. And I mean, if we say it once, you're not his mother, you're not his father. I mean, I feel like we're a parent. We say that all the time, you know. And he's just mild-mannered. He's like, okay, free spirit, you know, just kind of whatever. We finally had to tell him, look, dude, you don't have to listen to them. And he's like, really? Like, no, stand your ground, you know, which led to more fights. But he goes, it's the basic stuff as a kid, isn't it? Mind your own business. Worry about yourself. Give it your best. Don't worry about everybody else. Why? Not just because it makes you better, but it's honoring God. You're giving your best to God, and your effort is directly tied to your maturity. And your maturity in learning to lean on God, trusting in Him, and all that you do is huge. Why is this important? Because we read on, it says, for each of us, catch this, are responsible for our own conduct. Now, that's just an epiphany right there, isn't it? But that's just something far-fetched idea, isn't it? Wait a second. You mean you're not responsible for your coworker that's not doing their job? No. Matter of fact, if you go tell your boss, they're probably going to get irritated at you and start pointing out what you do wrong. Your effort is huge. What you do for God is huge, because everything you do, you're doing it what? For the glory of God, for His glory, not your glory. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Verse 7, don't be misled. Very popular verse. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, isn't it interesting that this scripture, that you reap what you sow? This is the scripture. You reap what you sow. You harvest what you plant. It's directly after he says, don't focus on others, focus on you. Why? Because everything you do, you're doing it all for the glory of God. Paul was trying, if you read this passage and you study Galatians, he was trying to deal with a very, very, very major issue in the church of Galatia. And it was called religiosity. They were into themselves. They were looking at how high and mighty they were. But yet there was literally bondage and filth and sin all within the church. But they were so focused on themselves, they couldn't even see. They could not even see. They're so focused on others, they could not even see their own problems. So this passage is huge. It says, you're going to reap what you sow. So why not give it your best? Why not give it your all? All that you have. Those who live to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest what? Their sinful nature. Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest what? Everlasting life from the Spirit. So, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. So you see from this passage telling you what? That your effort, it's a direct indicator of your spiritual maturity and growth. But another thing we see when you study out your effort and what this means, your effort produces a promise from the Lord. Did you realize that? That, first of all, we just read in Galatians 6, didn't we? It said, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you give that effort for the Lord, you're going to reap what? You're going to reap good things. If you sow bad, what are you going to reap? bad things, right? So you see this pattern, but yet your effort, it produces a promise from the Lord. God honors those who give themselves for Him, who work hard for Him. Look at a famous passage we see in Matthew 11:28, when Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Now, this is just a thought. I want you to think about this. But you're not weary if you're not trying, are you? If all I'm doing is just sitting back doing nothing and having no effort, how am I really tired? How am I really weary? Weariness and tiredness comes from what? Putting effort out. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that Satan's like a lion. He's trying to deceive you. I understand the enemy's attacking you. But then let me help you with this. You ever seen a dog bark at a parked car? It's a dumb dog if he does, right? Dogs don't bark at parked cars. But they chase them. They chase them cars going down the road, don't they? I mean, it don't matter. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But you see that car, especially in the country, because they roam. But it's like that car takes off and boom, it's gone. It's like, what is it doing? I'm going to help you with this. Satan, he don't attack those who are idle. They're sitting around. He loves to go after those who are actually working for the Lord. Why? Because those are the ones that are a threat to him. And oftentimes, hey, when we're just kind of sitting in ourselves doing nothing, sitting still, that's not the one the enemy wants to attack. He wants to attack those who are attacking him. Jesus says, come unto me if you're tired, you're weary. I'm going to give you rest. This goes back to the central theme of when we serve him, when we give him our all, he's going to take care of us. He's there. He's your father. The Lord God is your father. He's there to look out for you, to comfort you, to take care of you. But yet, you've got to put your effort in. You've got to do your part. There are moments in life, there are things that happen around us that's just called life, and I get that. But what I'm trying to point out here is that God is specifically saying, if you're going through a hard time, if you're working hard, you're weary, come on in. Now, he does go on and say, I'm here for all, and I love all. But right here, it's special, isn't it? Come to me. If you're tired, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to take that burden that you're carrying and I'm going to put it on my shoulders. I'm going to make sure you make it through. You see, you have to understand that when you put forth effort, another promise it gives you, that this is one you may not like so much, it creates discipline. Yeah, that's not so fun, is it? It's not fun on the surface, but yet discipline will give you the strength to move forward and to grow and develop. Effort will create discipline. It's why in your job they have you do what? Repetitive thing. They want you to create what? A discipline. It's why in all aspects in sports, what are they doing? They want you to create that discipline. Eli has been playing basketball the last few weeks, and it's funny because Eli's pretty much always been into football. He played basketball one season, and every season I have been his coach in everything he's played. And so, you know, he either had me as a coach or he had all his buddies. The first year it was just me as a coach that he created a lot of friends. But, you know, football is his group of people. He loves to be with them. They're all his friends. He knows everybody pretty much on the team unless somebody new comes on. And he just loves being on that team. Well, he wanted to play basketball. Well, because I've been coaching for so long, since his second grade year, every season, I told him, I said, look, dude, I don't coach basketball. I understand football. I coached basketball once, right? I remember, listen, here's a precursor here. If you have to study YouTube to coach a team, yeah, that's probably not a good coach, is it? You know, I mean, I'm like watching videos going, look, I like basketball. I watch basketball. I understand that. But to teach kids, I'm like, man, I have no earthly idea what I'm doing. And so this time I'm like, bro, I'm not coaching. I was like, oh, God's good. I'm fine. I said, that means you're going to be on whoever knows team. I'm good with that. Okay. You don't know who you're going to be with. Okay. Yeah, I'm good. Well, guess what happens? He gets in there and he knows no one. Then he realizes he's only like one of the only kids that's a fifth grader. They're all fourth graders. And then to make matters worse, he's playing with against a lot of his own friends that are fifth graders. So he's with a bunch of fourth graders. And just to put it mildly, it's been a rough season as far as the record goes. But on top of that, all of these fourth graders are all buds. They've played things together. So he's the odd man out. So about second, third practice, first, second game, he's like, I'm done. I'm like, oh, yeah. No, you're not. I'm done. I'm good. I don't want to play anymore. Well, guess what? Tough. Get over it, buddy, you know. Put your big boy pants on. Well, I don't like it. I don't like this. You know what? What we noticed is it started to shift inside of him, and he was not giving forth any effort. Because he didn't like it, he decided, well, if they're going to make me stay, then I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I'm just going to fluff around. And so instead of giving effort, he just stopped doing everything. And so this all culminated one day. We were out practicing, playing. Well, he wanted to play around. Well, then he was just kind of, I noticed that, you know, first you're kind of as a parent, right? You assess, do I deal with this? Nah, just forget it. You know, I don't want to mess with it. But then it started getting worse where we were just playing ball in the backyard and he was just, you know, halfway going. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. So I took off the dad hat and put on the coach hat, right? You know, and I'm like, all right. Every ball you miss now, you're going to be doing up downs. That's the thing we do in football. You know, chop your feet, hit the ground. He's like, what? No, I am not. I was like, oh, yeah, you are. You know, and so what'd he do? So he still didn't try. Well, he kept doing up downs. And he started crying. He was so ticked at me. I don't want to do this. I said, suck it up. You know, he kept, suck it up. You know, and then he's getting all angry. And then finally he starts to do it. And then guess what? A few of those, all of a sudden that effort, it picked up. It was like, I'm on it now. I'm going to try. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. Because he realized there was a consequence to the lack of trying. And then we sat down and we talked about this scripture. Why is effort important? Because everything you do, son, you do it for the glory of God. And when you say to you, it's just a game. Who cares? It's a sport. Who gives a rip? Listen, I'm not a basketball king either. I'm cool with you not being the best out there. I'm okay with that. But what I'm not okay with is you not trying. If you're there, be there. Give it your all. Why? Because if nothing else, if you never make a goal, if you never do anything, guess what? You're honoring God because you're giving it everything you have. And that's huge. That's huge. It changes the game. You have to learn that in life, things aren't always going to go your way. Anybody say amen to that? You're going to be mad sometimes. You're going to be one of those players that kind of upset and being a crybaby because it's not going the way you want at work. They're not honoring me. They're not taking care of me. I'm bored. I'm sad. I'm mad. Wah, wah. Somebody call the ambulance, right? Put your big boy pants on, put your big girl pants on, and realize you're not working for those people. You're working for the Lord. And create discipline inside of you. What you realize is the more you begin to work, the more you begin to push forward, and your attitude's right and your effort's right, guess what? You're no longer leaning upon your strength, but you're leaning on the Lord. And now things begin to change because you have a new perspective. Look what Jesus said about this in Hebrews 12. He said, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Anybody say that? It's painful. Amen to that, right? But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So, take a new grip with your tired hands, strengthen your weak knees, mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. So what is it saying? When you begin to give effort and you begin to rely upon the Lord and recognize what you're doing is to honor God, things will shift inside of you. And now you're going to see things through a new perspective and you're going to recognize that, you know what? People will treat you wrong. There will times you will be looked over for on that promotion. There'll be times you don't get what you want. You'll request something and they'll say no. But if you're not working for that organization, if you're not working for that person, then guess what? And you're working for the Lord, then things are going to shift inside of you. And you're going to recognize that God's got your back. He's going to take care of you. If you honor Him, He'll honor you. And that's what it takes to lean upon the Lord. So it's your thoughts, they determine your direction. Your attitude, it affects your environment. But your effort, it affects your maturity and your level of growth. Would you close your eyes and reflect on that today? Maybe you're here today and you know it. The Lord's been speaking to you right now as we've been talking. Truth be known, you work hard at what you love, but the things you don't love, you're not working so hard at. Maybe you hate your job right now. Maybe you're sick and tired of it and you don't want to work, so you know what? You're just not giving the effort. But the Lord's speaking to you today saying, hey, wait a second. You're not working for that company. You're working for me. You're working for me today. And maybe you're here and you're struggling, saying, "I didn't even realize this was all tied together, and I don't have a relationship with God." Listen, when you understand your purpose, as we said earlier, your creative purpose is to serve Him, then you're going to realize that there's more fulfillment than any job you could ever find. But either way, today, God's speaking to you, saying, "Hey, I want you to shift it, change your attitude, change your mentality. Come to me. Come to me." With no one looking around, if you're here today, maybe you're saying, hey, I need Jesus in my life. I don't even have Him in my life. I want to pray with you right where you are. We never close a service without giving you that chance. If you're here today and you want to ask Him as your Savior, maybe you're asking for the first time or you're rededicating your life to Him, but you want Him to come into your life today with no one looking around, I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right there. Amen. Anyone else? Just look up at make eye contact. I want to pray with you saying, hey, I want to make Him my Savior today. Amen. Anyone else? I'm not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray with you right where you're sitting. Let's pray. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that He is Lord, and guess what? We're saved. That's the beginning of it. But the confessing is making Him Lord. The believing is living it out, making it a part of our lives. But I'm asking we all pray together so we don't single anybody out. But if you made that decision today, that you would make this your prayer. But let's all pray right now. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you made that prayer today, we rejoice with you. Now it's getting connected. We have connect groups coming up. Manny will talk about that in a minute. But I want to do one more thing. I want to close with just a prayer for all of us. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, hey, my effort has not been maybe what it should be. Maybe it's because you're irritated. Maybe it's because you're angry and your attitude. You might want to look at the next last week's message on that one. Maybe because you have a bad self-worth. Well, go to week one on that one. But you realize, I'm not giving my all. Listen, the Lord's speaking to you today because He wants you to understand the importance of what you do. Jesus said that we are here to be salt and light in a world full of darkness. How do you think your light shines? A couple ways. Your attitude. What's another way it shines? Your effort, doesn't it? We're living in a world, to put it mildly, that is increasingly becoming self-entitled. They just give it to me. I don't want to work for it. And if I've heard once, I've heard it probably 1,000 times from many of you, workers, managers. It's an old saying. You've heard it. Good help is hard to find, isn't it? It is. Good help is hard to find. So let me ask you something. If you start working for the Lord instead of working for people, do you think people will notice? I guarantee they will. And if you start honoring God and giving Him your all, guess what else happens? People stand up and notice. Then you start receiving the accolades you were trying so hard for. But when you work for the Lord, He's going to honor you. He's going to take care of you. That's one of the greatest promises you have. But it's a choice. And if we're all being transparent here today, every single one of us have those days where we don't want to work, we don't want to do anything. You know, for me, it's Monday. You know, after Sunday, I'm like, I'm good, you know. Because Sunday's a work day for us. We go, go, go. But others, you have those days where I just don't want to do anything. But you know what? Recognize that everything you do, you're doing it for the glory of God. Let me pray with you today. Father, you see those here. And I think if we're all honest, we could stand and say that we fall short in this category. Lord, there are times that maybe we don't put forth the effort that we should. And Lord, today I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would keep it in our mindset in front of us, that everything we do it for you. So that when we go to work tomorrow, when we begin to work for what we may think is ourselves or our company, we recognize that we're truly working for you. That we can honor you in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen.